Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Todd Tomasella. I'm in Dallas, Texas, and got the wonderful Mr. Chris Sitter, longtime friend and brother in Christ, all the way from about New Braunfels, Texas. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Morning, Todd. I'm thanking the Lord for a brand new day.
Amen. It's a beautiful day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Yesterday we talked about forgetting the Lord. The Bible has a lot to say to warn us about forgetting the Lord. That's a good verse to look up, or a good word to search out. Forget or forgetting the Lord. And I would always do that, my friends, in the King James Bible, the preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people. Hallelujah. We're talking about forgetting, and or the contrast would be, the converse would be, Brother Chris, to remember the Lord. And the Scripture tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, "Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant." Now, in that chapter, he's warning them about the dangers of forgetting him once they have their wealth. And we see this throughout history. We see this throughout the history of Israel, Brother Chris, as you know. And God tells us in the New Testament, he didn't tell us to go back and try to come up under the law. See, that's what a lot of people confuse. No, but he says, learn from the scriptures how I dealt with my people and how they fell and why, so that you won't repeat those things. That's 1 Corinthians 10:11 and Romans 15:4. So the Old Testament's there, and these warnings are there for our admonition, 1 Corinthians 10:11, and for our learning, Romans 15:4. So we need to really take heed. Now, friends, I want to encourage you to read Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 8 very closely, because it's a lot of rich things in there for us. Now, Chris has some really good verses, a string of them to share with us. One of them I know he's going to mention. The most popular one and the most known one is obviously Psalm 9:17. Tells us that the nation that would forget God will be turned into hell. And now, Brother Chris, before I turn it over to you, this is a verse that I find to be one of the most severe. You could call it a promise, but I think it's a threat also, if you will, divine threat. God doesn't need our permission to threaten us. Amen. Some people act like God has to revolve around them. Why? Because they haven't truly repented, and they're serving the God of self, so they try to tailor-make the Bible to fit their life. The Scripture warns us that in the last days, men would not endure sound doctrine. We must preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, for the time is coming when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. See, they haven't repented. Therefore, their heart's full of greed and lust and covetousness. After their own lust, that's the problem, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, instead of repenting and get rid of that itching ear that just wants to hear what it wants to hear instead of what it needs to hear to prepare itself, himself, herself, for judgment to come, they will sit before people that will tell them fairy tales, fables, as we read in that passage right there in 2 Timothy 4:2-4. Listen, folks, we got to get honest, man. We got to get honest. Even if we're in total violation of God's word, we got to be able to just say, hey, you know what? God's word says A, B, C, and I'm doing C, D, E, and F. So I'm wrong. Even if you're not ready to repent, it's better to be honest about it. Psalm 50, verse 22, this is a verse I find to be one of the most severe threats, divine threats, if you will, in the Bible. Now consider this, he says, ye that forget God, there it is, ye that forget God. This is a biblical topic, folks, forgetting and remembering the Lord. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces,
yeah,
and there be none to deliver. Chris, what do you think?
Amen. And I think what the Lord's put on my heart is that he's given us a couple of key aspects of who he is to help us not forget him. As Todd started out the day here with that verse, this is the day the Lord has made, that we will rejoice and be glad in it. But if you think about that, and that's a real common verse, but in order to have a day that the Lord has made, it's filled with things that happen in his creation, on his planet, with his mountains and his oceans and his rivers and his valleys and his sunshine and his weather. And as we wrap our arms around him and all the glorious aspects of him as creator, it will cause us to remember him. And also as we wrap our arms around him as the weatherman, the one that brings the weather, not Mother Nature, and not it. There's another thing we battle, and that is it.
Feminization of God, which is not biblical.
Right. Exactly. A lot of people will say, I mean, we've been robbed from this truth, and it is a beautiful truth. And God says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So he wants us to remember the Lord, and he wants to make it easy for us to remember the Lord. And if we've wrapped our arms around the moment-by-moment reality of his creation, not only will we praise him for his creation and be in awe of his creation, and we will remember him as we experience his various beautiful aspects of weather, like the sunrise.
Amen.
When it says, yeah, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Now, before we go too much further, Brother Chris, how should a Christian address or react to this godless, antichrist idea of Mother Nature? Now, first of all, this robs the glory from God, as you're talking about. This is his creation. The earth is the Lord's. Notice, if we stop and think about that, it's easy to rattle that verse off, Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's. And we think about Genesis and how he created all things, etc. The earth belongs to the Lord, folks. We really don't own anything. There's so many folks running around trying to entrench themselves in this world, and, well, I own this, and we have this house. First of all, most of them don't own the house. They're paying the bank for the house. And even when they do own it, if they don't pay the taxes on it, they're going to lose it. You know, I mean, so in very few aspects, or how about zero aspects, do we really own anything? Because naked came we into this world, and naked shall we return. But, you know, Brother Chris, how should a Christian react? I mean, should we just stand there and let this happen and say, no, I'm not going to buy into or coincide with Mother Nature? Thank you, Lord, that you made the heavens and the earth, and this is your planet, as is the whole universe. What do you think, brother? What do you think about how a believer should react to this programmed thought, this brainwashing of a fallen
mankind?
Well,
I think what we do is we respond with the power, the light of God's word on the subject, and it just washes away that darkness and that lie.
Good.
And if you don't mind, I'd like to just dive into some of the scriptures on those different subjects. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to focus a lot. I've noticed that this concept in God's word of creator and weatherman is intricately woven together. As I think of a verse, I'll probably start and stop with. But Amos chapter 5, verse 8 says, see him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. And so in that, we're exhorted to seek the Lord, who did what? Who created the seven stars and Orion. He created the constellations. Okay, he also calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth. He is the creator and weatherman, and we're to seek him. And these concepts, those two concepts, are intricately woven together. Another one in 9:6, and Amos really got it. If this is such a basic concept, once we absorb it into our spirit, it will just crush the wimpy little lie of Mother Nature. It'll be so humorous. But unfortunately, in darkness, when people don't have these verses, and then knowledge of them, then it's easier for it to propagate. So Amos 9:6, it is he that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. So he is the weatherman, and I'm just going to go through, and we're going to just talk about how he's the weatherman and see these verses, and just going to get to bathe in the scripture until, as Todd interrupts me, that'll be awesome. We're going to talk.
So I love this verse. This verse talks about he calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. In other words, the process called where they're taken up into the clouds from the earth, from the body of water here, the sea, and then he pours them out. In other words, he scatters his rain across the earth to water it, right?
Yep.
Amos
the whole water
6.
Cycle of the earth. In fact, there's another aspect of it. Long before we had the weather satellites, we've got Ecclesiastes and Solomon going Ecclesiastes 1:6. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. Now, Solomon could not get up in a satellite and see that. But here it is, those same swirling patterns that God is the one who's in charge of, 2,000, 3,000 years before we had weather satellites and television. He's talking about how he's in charge of swirling those patterns around according to his direction. So it's a lot of verses on this subject.
I love the word circuits there, Brother Chris. Oh, please keep going. Yeah, don't worry about me. I'm just chiming in here. This is a good string of verses. I know you got a lot more. I love the way Ecclesiastes 1:6, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. That's interesting.
So we see another one here in Jeremiah 51:15-16. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom. Hath stretched out the heaven by his understanding. So that's creation, right? Made the earth by his power, established the world by his wisdom. And he immediately dovetails straight into weather. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. And he goes to another one where the dew ascends in the morning and looks so beautiful. And he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. So he's, again, dovetailing creation and being in charge of the weather there in Jeremiah 51:15-16.
I like that. I know you're going to probably bring this in. What comes to mind is where Jesus, in the end of Matthew 5, tells us to how the Father is so gracious that even upon the wicked, the righteous and the wicked, he makes his rain to fall and his sun to shine. Isn't that interesting?
And that is one of the aspects of understanding the goodness of God, which is to lead us to repentance. And when we understand that he's in charge of this, and we see, people that are just wicked, areas that are especially wicked, why do they get sunshine and rain and flowers and all of that? It's the goodness of God, which he's determining to give them nice weather so that if they had eyes to see and ears to hear, they would respond properly, thank you, God, and in my wickedness, you have given me all this goodness designed to lead a person to repentance. And therefore, our adversary, who doesn't want anybody to repent, doesn't want that whole mental process to go on. God is creator. God is in charge of the weather. God has given me this nice weather. I've been giving him, nothing but hatred. And, oh, my God, have mercy on me. Thank you for your goodness. I'm sorry I've been such a fool. And but if it's Mother Nature, if Mother Nature is in charge of all that,
attributing it to Mother Nature, stealing the glory from the one who made it. I've got to jump in on this one. This is something recently I was preaching Friday night, and I didn't even know I would be, but they introduced me at a home meeting, bunch of people there, and you know, sometimes it gets real harsh. I say harsh. It gets down into the deep things of sin and repentance and the holiness of God, denying yourself, taking up your cross. And one particular lady, actually a mature Christian lady, pretty mature, you know, older lady, mentioned, well, but isn't it the goodness of God that leads us to repentance? You see, and many people think that because it's the goodness of God, Brother Chris, that leads us to repentance, that that has to be administered automatically in a very soft way, and that you have to be real nice and try to, in your flesh, woo people into the kingdom. No, they need the bone-crushing, sin-magnifying law of God, which converts the sinner. They must be shown their rebellion, depravity, and separation from God. Yes, it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, Romans 2:11, through conviction of sin, which has to come by the law, which makes us all guilty and magnifies our sin, Romans 7, Romans 3, and brings us to Christ and converts the soul, Psalm 19:7. It shows us the utter depravity and separation from God, who's holy, holy, holy. And some we got to save with fire. Sometimes there's some fiery, strong preaching. And I'd rather err on that side, Brother Chris, than on the side of being peddling too much softness, but to bring about the Word of God that will bring great conviction by the Spirit, so that when they do pray and they do say, you know, confess Christ and repent, that they're really doing it out of a heart that's stirred to conviction. And that's the goodness of God, to bring people down low. Any of us, even Christians, that if, God forbid, you go into sin, it's the goodness of God that finds you and convicts you of your sin, rebukes you. And like in the case of David, you won't respond, so he sends a prophet named Nathan to rebuke him outrightly. And Peter, whom he sent Paul to rebuke in front of everybody, that is the goodness of God. And I'll finish by saying, a flattering tongue worketh ruin. Also, Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. God will bring forth wounds because he loves us. And that is his goodness manifesting to bring us back to him, Brother Chris. Amen?
Amen. All good. Good points.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Just learn when you're pausing there.
Cool.
So here's another one that dovetails God being creator and weatherman. Again, these are to help us remember, if you're thinking about him throughout the day as creator and praising him for his creation and understanding he's in charge of the weather, then he's going to cause you to be thankful for Thanksgivings will go up to heaven before the weather that you're enjoying, and prayers will go up for farmers and people and gardeners and people who need certain kinds of weather. It'll all these things happen naturally when you realize that God is in charge of the weather. But here's another one in Proverbs 3, 19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. So the dew comes from the Creator. He founded the earth, he established the heavens, and by his knowledge, the clouds drop down the dew. So we see, again, those two concepts are so important for us to realize they dovetail together, and our adversary is trying to steal those realities from the people and rob them. And also, we'll see later on, I hope we'll get there today, but the parallels that happen, there's parallels in the weather that wouldn't make any sense. There's spiritual parallels. If God did not create this place, if he did not control the weather, then the parallels that he's trying to make in the weather just would be completely lost, as they are mostly today, which helps people not to fear God, which is what we were talking about in the first place. People forgetting God and people not fearing God, and these two concepts will produce that. So
yes,
as we see that God was in charge of Exodus back with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's praying, entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. And that's obviously what happened. He prayed, and that went away. And we saw another early depiction that God was clearly in charge of the thunder and the hail. Again, that we would know that the earth is the Lord's. When you see God and you absorb that God is in charge of the weather, thunder and hail being two specific examples, you remember that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we praise Him accordingly. God is also in charge of wind. Go ahead.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, you know, what comes to mind when you're talking, Brother Chris, is the thunder, you know, especially as a kid, and even now when you hear this, you know, we're on the Gulf Coast, pretty close to it. I grew up in New Orleans, so right on the Gulf Coast. Man, that stuff would just rumble through your heart and your all the way down to your innermost being and your bones. It was like, whoa, it's like an awe. And that is obviously the Lord speaking to us to remind us and instill in us that that is not of man's doing, that's from Him. Amen.
Amen. And also we've got some weather, some thunder pictures there at the end, where we see that a part of those parallels. We realize God created this place. He's in charge of the weather, including the thunder. And we go, we see those things. It makes us think of, if we're a person of the Word, it makes us think of Revelation. When we go to Judgment Day here, Revelation 11, 18, and 19, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy saints, thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So we've got
wow.
some weather here up in heaven.
I love it. Wow. You know, until you pointed this out, Chris, I've never, ever looked at this aspect of the Word. You know, that's why it's such a blessing, ladies and gentlemen, to read and study the Word of God with other people, because everybody's unique and they're going to see stuff in the Word that you won't, and vice versa. And that's why the Bible says to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Colossians 3:16. Go ahead, Brother Chris.
Okay. Yeah, I found another verse that right after Ecclesiastes 1:6, it talks about that same, that weather cycle. That 1:7 says, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. So again, it's not only is he showing the swirling patterns that God is in charge of that we see on the weather channels, but also just the concept that God calls for the waters of the sea, pours them out over the dry land, they go into the rivers, they flow back into the sea, and that God set that whole system up to water his creation. Here's a verse that talks about how God's in charge of the wind, and there's a lot of those. But and Moses, in Exodus 10:13, and Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day, and all that night, and when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And he's in charge of the other one too. And the Lord, in six verses later, and the Lord turned a mighty strong wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. So he's in charge of the wind. He's in charge of the thunder. He's in charge of the lightning. And I will skip some of these and go to there's so many good ones. I don't know how many minutes do we have left, brother.
Oh, it looks like we got about 6 or 7 minutes. Yes, sir.
Well, then I'm going to go to Job 37. While I find that, do you have something you want to say for a sec?
Oh, that's absolutely amazing. You know, I'm just glad to still be on the show, brother. My ear or my cheek accidentally hit a dial button, and I got kicked off, and then you just kept going and didn't even know it, and I was off there for about a minute. But
hey, I found
good.
Job 37, so here it is.
Yeah,
this is a beautiful run at It says, "At this is Job 37, 1 through 4. At this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning under the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth." When you see snow, it's not because Mother Nature. It's because right here, Job 37:5, "For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, and likewise to the small rain." When the small rain is on the earth, it's because he said, "Small rain, be thou on the earth, and to the great rain of his strength, be thou on the earth." Okay, same kind of deal. And then Job 37:9-10, "Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God, frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened." That means it's freezing, gets freezing cold. "Also by watering, he wearieth the thick cloud." In other words, you got to stick those dark clouds and say water. The water comes down, they get weary, they get more bright. "He scattereth his bright cloud, and it is turned round about by his counsel, that they may do whatsoever he commanded them upon the face of the world in the earth." Now, this is an amazing concept. I was talking to Todd about this a couple days ago. "He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy." He's talking about those turning round about these clouds and wind and thunder and rain and frost, that God, who is the weatherman in charge of the weather on his planet, causes weather to come for three reasons. Whether for correction, maybe it's a judgment. Maybe it's a whirlwind that he's in charge of. We have other verses we didn't talk a whole lot about here, but he's in charge of the whirlwind. Maybe it's a tornado. Maybe it's a hurricane. Some people will flip out when they hear that. But you know what? God says he's in charge of the whirlwind. So
yes.
You got a problem with that, then you can look the verses up. Just get a King James concordance and look up whirlwind and see what he's in charge of it. But he causes it to come for correction or for his land. Meaning that people that are his land, his people, serving him, that has blessings throughout here. We didn't read in Deuteronomy different places where he blesses those with people with good crops and showers at the right time and sunshine and lets their crops do well as part of his blessing for his land. Or for mercy, because his merciful kindness is great towards people. And they may be just flat out wicked people, but he's going to show his goodness on them because his mercy endures forever, which we hear that a whole lot throughout the Word of God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And one of the big aspects of his mercy is when he shows wicked people nice weather, because he's the weatherman.
That's
so
good.
Here's another one. "The clouds, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds?" Who is the one who balances clouds at different altitudes? When you're on an airplane, you look up there and you see, oh my gosh, these are at 5,000 feet, these are at 10,000, these are at 18,000. How does he do that? God does that. "Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? And in a south wind that he brings, how thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind." When it's been cold winter and you finally get that south warm wind, he is the one who quiets the earth. Not Mother Nature, he. And also, when it rains, it's not Mother Nature and it's not it. This is the strangest thing in America, and Christians too. We have been robbing God from his glory by saying this strange concept, this really weird phrase, is raining.
Yeah.
What is that? Is it cousin it? Who is that? In the Adams family?
So,
it's not it. It is not raining. It is the Lord that has given us the showers. And there's just so many things. And when you see the sunrise this morning, look out there. Remember, God's the one who made that Psalm 65:8b. "Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice." And he's the one who makes those sunrises and sunsets so beautiful. And there's just a whole pack full of other verses about wind, rain, snow, dew, lightnings, how they report to him. It's just the list is huge, and it's a beautiful concept. Remember the Lord as you see the weather that he's given us today. And go ahead, Todd, you take it from here.
Oh, absolutely beautiful. This opens up a whole new world to us as Bible students who begin to not only go back and look at this and specifically study it, Brother Chris, but also as we read through the scriptures, and man, every believer listening to me should read through the whole Bible. Hallelujah. You miss so much if you don't. You gain so much when you do. And one of the things that will be standing out to you is passages such as Job 37 and other places where less is said, but it's still there, about God who controls his creation. Father, we love you. We praise you. We ask for the holy fear of God in our hearts. And thank you, Lord, for every blessing, how you rain, you cause the rain to fall and the sun to shine on the evil and on the good, Lord. Bless us to fear thy holy name and to hasten to obedience in the fear of God in light of the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Father. Thank you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon. And you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.